reading today may be found on page 1061 of the Church Bibles and is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. So that's page 1061, Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them." When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you ever have trouble getting to sleep at night? Or do you sometimes, even worse, wake up at 3 a.m. and toss and turn and find it very difficult to get back to sleep? Now, the old traditional way of dealing with that is to count sheep, but that's incredibly boring, so I don't recommend it. A jolly good technique is actually to think of somebody interesting whom you know about and have an imaginary conversation with them. And last week, I had a fascinating conversation for about an hour with Judy Dench, and she was telling me how just a twitch of an eyebrow or a curl of a lip can express far more than big dramatic gestures that sometimes are necessary. If you're desperate to get to sleep, it really matters, and you're a supporter of Test Match Special like I am, then you talk to Geoffrey Boycott, and he tells you how to play a forward defensive shot for about 12 times, and how his grandmother uses a stick of rhubarb to play all the fastest bowlers, and you're asleep in no time because the man's a bore. You don't have to stick to people who are still alive. Quite seriously, a conversation I would love to have is with this couple on the road to Emmaus. Can you imagine being able to spend an hour or two with Cleopas and his companion, who spent 2-3 hours having the Bible, the Old Testament, explained to them by Jesus? Golly, I'd love to be able to pick their brains. And that's actually one of the ways I'm going to try and get to sleep, because it'll be good for me to think what Jesus might have said. So as we just think for a few minutes about the couple, not about Jesus, but about the couple who are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a distance of about 7.5 miles, what made it important for them to have a good and effective journey? It was a journey of hope. It turned from despair to hope. And very quickly, there are 5 things that happen to them and that can happen to us if we want to journey well. First of all, they cared. That story that Alison read to us reminds us that they were miserable, but they were miserable because they cared. Oh, look, good, thank you. They didn't suffer from compassion fatigue. And there's a danger that you and I, in a difficult world, get so churned up with all that's going on, all the problems, that we stop caring. They cared. But more than that, they listened. Jesus, they didn't know who it was, but he came alongside them, and they listened to what he had to say. Actually, one of the things about our culture now is that we find it difficult to listen. We don't take on board what people are saying to us. And if we are going to have an effective journey with Jesus, we've got to listen. We know nothing about Cleopas. This is the only time he's mentioned in the whole of the Bible. And we know even less about his companion. I personally, having my chat with him last week, think that it was probably his wife. But there's no evidence for that. I have to admit that when we got married, Jean and I, the chap that preached at our wedding preached on this story. And I hadn't a clue what he said, because I had other things in my mind at the time. But he told us, I know, that it was probably Cleopas and his wife, who actually listened to each other, which is interesting, as well as listen to what Jesus had to say. But they cared and they listened. And as they got to their home in Emmaus, they invited Jesus into their home. They developed a level of intimacy with him. They invited him into their home. And if we are going to have a good journey, then we have to invite the Lord into our homes, into our lives, develop a level of intimacy with him. And it was only after they had cared and they listened and they invited that they understood that he showed himself to them and he revealed himself. I used to keep a little black book in my bottom drawer of my desk when I was in practice. And I listed the people who contacted me and said, "Terribly sorry, I don't understand what you're saying or what you wrote." And I was a bit hurt, because I took great trouble to try and be simple and clear. And I would say to them, "Well, which bit don't you understand?" "Oh, I haven't read it yet." Again and again. People assume very often that things are difficult to understand. And it's because actually they haven't cared, they haven't listened, they haven't invited intimacy. To me, one of the most exciting verses in the whole of the Bible, I have red ink all over it, is Matthew 7:7. And it says very simply, Jesus talking to his disciples, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." These disciples suddenly understood. They grasped what Jesus was all about. Now, they didn't have perfect understanding. And you and I are never going to have perfect understanding. But if we go through this procedure, we are promised that we will have understanding. So what do they do at the end? The last that they did was they responded. They got off their backsides and walked 7.5 miles back to Jerusalem. It's 15 miles walk in that day. They did something about what they had understood. And we're asked to do the same. Very simply, as we start our journey, or as we continue our journey, Jesus invites us to do those 5 things. To care, to listen, to invite him in so there's a relationship with him. And then he promises understanding and expects us to respond. Amen.